Chapter 14 At Sandbourne. The man who returned to Emminster that May was quite different from the one who had left more than a year ago. He was so thin that his parents could see his bones, and his face was much older. "I have been very ill, but I'm all right now," he said, after his mother had dried her tears. They had not expected him to return looking like this. Angel sat down to stop himself from falling. "Has any letter come for me, from my wife?" he said. "I received the first one, but it was very delayed." Only one other letter had come. His parents had not sent it on to him, knowing he was arriving home soon. He quickly opened it.
"Oh, why have you treated me so terribly, Angel? I do not deserve it. I have thought about it carefully, and I can never forgive you. You know that I did not plan to wrong you, so why have you wronged me?"
"It is quite true," said Angel, throwing down the letter. "I have been thinking about it for a long time, and I know that I have behaved terribly to her. Maybe she will never forgive me."
He went to bed, and the next day, feeling very unwell, stayed in his room thinking. His time in Brazil had been hard. He and a friend had been very ill. The friend, who thought that Angel had wronged his wife and had told him this, and illness had changed Angel. The way he thought about Tess changed, and slowly he had forgiven her. When he had read her first letter on the other side of the world, it seemed the easiest idea to hurry home and throw himself into her arms. But this second one showed that her opinion of him had changed, and he decided to prepare her before he travelled to Marlott. So he wrote to her mother, saying that he had returned, and asking if Tess was with her. He sent the letter that same day, and a week later he received a reply.
"Sir, I no longer live at Marlott, but near Trantridge. My daughter is away from me at the moment, living in Sandbourne. But I do not think she would want you to visit her there. Yours, J. Derbyfield."
Angel waited a few days, and slowly he grew stronger. He kept thinking about Joan Derbyfield's warning not to visit Tess. But then he reread Tess's first letter.
"I only want one thing in this world, to meet you, my own love."
And he knew that she still loved him. He decided to go to Sandbourne on the next train. He arrived at 11 o'clock that night and took a room at one of the hotels. Then he walked out onto the streets, feeling confused. This beautiful town, with its long sea walks and gardens, seemed to have been made by magic. What was a village girl like Tess doing here? Were there any cows to milk here? There were no fields to work in, or vegetables to cut. She must be working as a servant in one of the large lodging houses on the seafront, he decided. He walked along and wondered which one she was in. The next morning, he rose at 7 after a sleepless night and went straight to the post office. At the door, he met a postman coming out with a bag of letters.
"Do you know the address of a Mrs. Clare?" Angel asked. The postman shook his head.
"Of a Miss Derbyfield?" Angel tried.
"I don't know any Derbyfields," said the postman. "But there is a d'Urberville at the Herons."
"That's it," cried Angel, relieved. "Where is the Herons?"
The postman told him how to find the house, and Angel set off immediately.
The Herons was a lodging house with a large garden. If poor Tess was a servant here, she would use the back door, and he wondered if he should do the same. However, he decided to go to the front door, where he rang the bell. The landlady opened the door. Angel asked for Teresa D'Urberville.
Mrs. D'Urberville?
Yes. So Tess was telling people that she was married, even if she was not using his name. He was glad to know it. Can you tell her that Angel is here to see her? She'll understand. He was shown into the front room. As he waited, he stared out through the light curtains at the grass and flowers. Obviously, her situation was not as bad as he had thought. What will she think of me? I am so changed, he said to himself. Then he heard a door open above, and Tess came down the stairs. She was not at all as he had expected to see her. She was still beautiful, but her beauty was made more obvious by the clothes that she wore. She was in a grey-white dress and expensive shoes of the same colour. Her dark hair was tied up on her head, but one long bit hung down over her shoulder, telling him that she had got ready quickly. Tess, he said, can you forgive me? Why won't you come to me? How did you get to live in this house and wear these clothes? It is too late, she said, her voice sounding hard and her eyes shining strangely. I did not think well of you, he said. I did not see you as you were. I have learned to since, dear Tess. Too late, too late, she said, waving her hand. Don't come close to me, Angel. You must not. But don't you love me, my dear wife? Because I have been pulled down by illness. I came for you. My mother and father will welcome you now. I waited and waited, she went on, her voice becoming sad. But you did not come. He kept saying you would never come back and that I was a stupid woman. He was very kind to my family after father's death. I don't understand. He has won me back to him. Angel stared at her, and slowly he understood her meaning. He is upstairs. I hate him now because he told me a lie, that you would not come again. But you have come, she said. He bought the clothes that I am wearing. I did not care what he did with me. But will you go away, Angel, please, and never come back any more? They both stood still, their confused hearts looking hopelessly out of their eyes. Oh, I blame myself for this, because it is my mistake, said Angel. But he could not say more. A few seconds passed, and he suddenly realized that she had gone. His face grew colder and thinner as he stood there. Then, a minute or two after, he found himself back in the street, not knowing where he walked.